It is the Brett Winterble Show. AM 760 Talk and Breaking News. It was a big week. And in the midst of everything that was going back and forth, we got a new nominee to the Supreme Court to consider, Judge Neil Gorsuch, coming out of the 10th Circuit. He's out of Colorado. And he is somebody who has gotten widespread praise and acclaim for his record and the way he reads the Constitution. What I think is so interesting is this concept that we all have of precedent being sacrosanct when it comes to the Supreme Court. And for whatever reason, we figure, precedent's the magic word. If there's a precedent, then, of course, the court never gets it wrong. They're not human beings. They don't make mistakes. I wanted to bring on my very good friend, Father Bill Nicholas, out of the Archdiocese of L.A. He is a history buff like I am, and wanted to get his reaction to this notion, often misplaced, that precedent equals good law in the past. Father Bill, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brad. Good to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you as well. So your thought on this pick of Gorsuch and this idea that, you know, Roe versus Wade, we just had the March for Life a week ago, mixed into all of this and the precedent and the settled law and that sort of stuff.
Well, I remember that was a big issue with George W. Bush's two nominees to the Supreme Court. If you recall, I think John Roberts, who he later actually nominated him just as a justice, but then when Rehnquist passed away, he nominated him for Chief Justice, and then Sam Alito came shortly after that. And I remember a number of the senators were asking them with regard to Roe versus Wade and what's the term, I think, reproductive rights, and if they would respect Roe versus Wade as established law or as an established precedent. And as I'm listening to the hearings, I'm thinking to myself, you know, do they respect a little decision called the Dred Scott decision, which came out of the Supreme Court in 1857, and another little decision called Plessy versus Ferguson that came out of the Supreme Court in, I think it was 1896, and both of those were extremely racially charged decisions. Dred Scott basically said that black people did not have any rights that white Americans were bound to respect and didn't even have the right to sue in court. And so when Dred Scott's owner moved him to the Wisconsin area, which was free territory, basically they declared Dred Scott was still a slave because states could not determine for themselves whether they would be free or slave states. It was not in the 13th Amendment hadn't been passed yet, and so it was a state issue. And the Wisconsin area had said, we will be free territory. So Dred Scott sued for his freedom. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't even have the right to sue for your freedom. And that certainly was a precedent. Plessy versus Ferguson declared that segregation in the South is the law of the land. You know, for at least two generations, you had white only, black only, or colored, as they put it, as part of the lifestyle in the South until Brown versus Board of Education overturned that. So you see, even the Supreme Court can overturn itself. And in the case of the Dred Scott decision, the Congress overturned that decision with laws banning basically slavery in the United States. So in addition to them saying that there's precedent, they also seem to think that, you know, oftentimes I'll ask people when teaching the Constitution a kind of a trick question. I'll answer, who has supreme authority in this country? And it's a trick question, obviously, but the answer is no one, because the Supreme Court is not the supreme authority. It's one of three co-equal branches of government. And I know in one case, President Andrew Jackson simply ignored their ruling. He said, enforce your own ruling. And that was with the Indian Removal Act. And so there's a case where the president just simply took the ruling and gave it its due. And in the case of Dred Scott, the Congress overturned the decision. And in the case of Plessy versus Ferguson, the Supreme Court overturned itself. So the whole idea of precedent is kind of a misnomer. It's a mistaken notion, because even the Supreme Court is not the supreme authority. It can be overruled or outruled, outvoted by the other two branches of government, and even later on can be overturned by the Supreme Court itself. So certainly, as a person who is a Catholic, who has the value of life, just not just as a Catholic, but as an American, our Declaration of Independence says we're endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, and the first of those rights is life. Certainly hope that the Supreme Court eventually overturns Roe versus Wade the way it overturned itself with Brown versus Board of Education, doing away with Plessy versus Ferguson.
And we know that having life at the forefront, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or as Locke originally looked at it, with natural rights to life, liberty, property, there are no rights without life. I mean, a rock doesn't have life. A table doesn't have life. It requires rights. It requires a human being to have those rights. That's a concept that is ancient.
Right, and people often tell me, even as a priest, will say, "Well, Father, you have to understand, there are other issues besides abortion that are on the shelf." And I just simply say, "Look, life is the shelf.
Yeah,
without life, there is no shelf to have other things on." And I think Ronald Reagan once said, he said he notices that all these people who are in favor of abortion have already been born.
Yes.
And just as Abraham Lincoln said, all these people who are in favor of slavery, I would be interested to have them try it on themselves, and then see how much in favor of it they might be. But I see the conflict between abortion and the pro-life and pro-abortion movements very, very similar. Different issues, but the conflict is very, very similar between the issue of slavery and abolition. Both the pro-life movement and the abolitionist movement are at their heart Christian movements. It's the Christian presence in this country that really drives them. And in both cases, you're looking at one, is a slave's right to be free more important than the property rights of the owner? And in this case, is the child's right to live more or less important than the privacy or personal, or what's the term again? Oh, that's right, reproductive rights.
Reproductive.
Of the mother, or as they claim. And as I've seen it in history, whenever there's an underdog in a conflict, in one particular case, yes, the slave owner has property rights, but that doesn't extend to violating the liberty of another human being. And yes, a woman does have privacy rights and rights over her body, but if we follow the trend of the country and how the Supreme Court has made decisions like this in the past, with a few exceptions, it's always said that we have rights to do what we want, but not to infringe upon the rights of someone else. And there's where I believe, you know, Roe v. Wade got it terribly wrong, as did Dred Scott, as did Plessy versus Ferguson.
We shall see how the confirmation hearings unfold and see which big questions are raised, and look forward to visiting with you to break that down as well. Have we got a deal?
We do.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Likewise, me as well. Father Bill Nicholas, out of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, thank you so much for coming by. Enjoy the big game weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same here. Take care.
Thanks, Father Bill. That's Father Bill Nicholas checking in.